Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hey, this is Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, an Army vet, and also the author of American Crusade. But really, all I care about is loving and fighting for this nation, which is why I love Real Talk with Audrey Russo. She tells it like it is, understands what America represents, and ultimately is willing to fight for her. God bless this country, God bless this program, and thank God for America.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Are we witnessing an attempted insurrection on our streets by America's enemies? And the Democrat Party has surrendered to communism, as is clear by their behavior and policy positions. We've had a taste of the draconian fist of communism during the coronavirus crisis exhibited by Democrat leaders. Would we be subjected to more of the same if, God forbid, Joe Biden wins in November? Well, we'll find out more about this with my next guest. For my new listeners, Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's also the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. She's a former nationally syndicated conservative American columnist whose blog is one of Newsmax's 50 best conservative blogs and tackles controversial subjects such as the impact of Islam and the failures of counterinsurgency. Diana has contributed essays and features to numerous periodicals, including The Wall Street Journal, The Weekly Standard, and The Washington Post. She has also been a columnist for The Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media. And she can be read at The Daily Caller. Diana is also a popular analyst and contributor on both radio and TV. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West.
Thank you, Audrey. Great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you with us in this these crazy, these insane, these I don't even want to call it anymore times. Oh my gosh. You know, there's just so much to talk about, but I want to bring this up because this is really timely. The you had seen the, and I'm sure most of, well, the listeners, I have it posted underneath the show description. I have the video there for you, which has been swiped from everywhere. It's been banished from Twitter, from Facebook, and I'm talking about the Physicians, America's Frontline Doctors is the name of the group, one of which, listeners, you know, Dr. Scott Barber. And they're trying to save lives. They've risked everything to tell the truth. And about hydroxychloroquine that has been out, approved 65 years ago, It is completely safe. It's over the counter in Iran, Honduras, Costa Rica, and there's a slew of other countries where it's. And yet they, well, what's been happening with the video? It's disappearing,
well,
isn't it?
It disappeared. Well, it disappeared after President Trump tweeted it. And you had a situation on Facebook where I believe there were something like 15 million views in that short number of hours from when these valiant doctors completed their day and posted their video. You had Americans hungry for this information, interested, wanting to be informed, wanting to learn. And that's what's supposed to happen in America. We're supposed to have access to information. We're supposed to watch medical and scientific debate go forward to make us healthier and safer and smarter and faster and all these things. And then once it became popular to that extent, you saw censorship, the kind of censorship that we think about in a satire fantasy like 1984, or what it was written about at the time in the late 1940s, the Soviet Union, Red China, Cuba, the entire communist world, Nazi Germany. I mean, this is what happens when the government censors ideas and people that it does not like, when it chooses what you know, what you can't know. This is what the big tech platforms were doing. Yeah. And it was Twitter, it was Google, it was Facebook. Gone.
Gone.
Boom. I've also noticed that the website that the doctors put up, America's frontline doctors put up, where I saw this, where I was looking for more news about them, is also gone.
Yes, yes.
So they are running into this tech monopoly that must be broken in terms of making them at least designating them to be publishers like any other kind of publisher that faces all the different sorts of challenges and risks that any publisher faces, and not being treated like some public utility that we all have free use of. This is you know, the deep fallacy here that must come to a resolution. However, in the meantime, what we're seeing is censorship like we've never seen before in America. We are seeing this war on hydroxychloroquine is something out of, again, this sort of totalitarian regimen. Because, Audrey, as you know, I mean, think about it. Science advances on debate. Some scientists believe the Earth was flat. Some scientists believe the Earth was round. I mean, this is the kind of debate that ideally we don't want to see scientists put to death, as some of these controversies have actually resulted in over time. We want to see science evolve and get sharper and smarter through debate. That's the only way people learn. And so the idea that this body of work, these lives saved by this group of doctors, just miraculous and not costly and easy to for others to also benefit from, that this information is taken from us and worse, demonized, shows the extent to which this entire quote-unquote pandemic has been manipulated, weaponized against the American people, against the people of the world who've been similarly victimized, and how it is so much tied into politics, not health. And you and I have been discussing this all along. I don't think we've ever had a starker lesson than watching what happened to actual American doctors who came together in Washington, D.C. to talk about this and were smothered by the left, by its Praetorian Guard and the media. And this is something, you know, tell everyone you know, people listening, about this, because it's such an important issue, and fight back. This is really pedal to the metal time.
Absolutely, because this in particular is incredibly evil, because it's about lives.
It's about lives and our economy.
Yes. That's all part of it. Yeah.
Exactly. If people aren't worried, because that's what's going on. We're a nation that is under what the spider web of fear, as one of the doctors was discussing.
Right.
It has gotten seized the heart of mothers and their for their children, of children for their parents. I mean, we are watching people mask up in fear of everything. And if people can learn that, you know what, if you get sick, you go to your doctor, you've got a really high chance of just knocking that thing out like a common cold, and you'll be back in a week or so for many, many people. And, you know, this is a great weight off of everyone's shoulders to know that there is this this course of widely available medicines for people to take. Of course there are complications for some people. Of course there's greater risk for some people. But wake up. Understand that the flu and pneumonia pose the same or worse threat to some people.
Actually,
and so, you know, we don't break our economy and stop our lives over those illnesses. So this is sort of a way to normalize coronavirus in our world of understanding how we deal with colds and strep throat and flu and pneumonia and worse, many, many worse things.
Yeah.
So this is why you see it as this political wedge issue. Americans have to stay afraid, say the left, say the Democrats. And this is just the only way they can do it is by censoring free speech, by censoring doctors, and as you've mentioned, by ignoring the risk that poses to actual human life, actual American life. This is just astonishing in terms of its not just theoretical dimension, but its very human cost and the evil behind this kind of censorship.
Yeah. And I put, of course, they caught the president, they duped the president with this because we have never, we've had plagues and we've never shut down our economy.
Yeah, they duped him.
Right, they did. And first they said 15 days, then they said 30 days, right, to flatten the curve. Here we are 5 months plus later and we're still not open and the lies continue. And here we have doctors coming out. Exactly what you were saying, that it's inexpensive and it is not only a cure, but preventive, so you won't get it. Now, I got COVID, and just it's been, let me see, it ended a little over a week ago. I had to go, the only reason I had to go to the hospital is because I passed out. And that had something to do with my thyroid. But they only kept me one night, and when they saw my lungs were clear, they sent me home, and they did not send me home with any medication. They wouldn't give me HCQ. They wouldn't give me anything. And so I suffered with it for 14 days, but it was a flu. It was a low-grade flu, but it was enough to zap your stamina, and you have a low-grade fever, and you just feel lousy, but you really can't do anything for 14 days. And Dr. Barber, had given a prescription down in Atlanta to several patients 3 days. He said if we wouldn't been down there, 3 days it would have been. Mm. He said minutes after you take it, you start feeling better. 3 days later, it's gone.
Yeah.
So what kind of mentality here? What has happened to the medical community? Have they been taken over by a communist mindset that somebody says no because they want to hurt a president, that they don't care how many people die? What kind of sickness is this? Is this communism? You know communism. Is this what communism is like?
Yeah, this is certainly there are ideological drivers here, as I call them. They're people driven by ideology. They're people driven by left-wing politics that fits right into the communist ideology, who are certainly in the medical establishment, certainly in the political medical establishment. This we've known for some time. It really comes to the fore now. I think that there are certainly healthcare nurses and doctors who are closed off to the possibilities of hydroxychloroquine because of the peer pressure and because of whatever kinds of atmospheres they're in. I wouldn't say that all doctors who won't prescribe it are communists or anything like
no,
that.
No. I meant, no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant that what this is what's going on in the upper echelon.
Yes,
yeah.
No, certainly.
Is it communist, right?
Listen, it's every echelon, every institution of our society. It's not just government. It's not just the churches. Right. It's not just the education system.
Right.
It's everything. Has been subverted over these generations of communist education system. I mean, that's, I suppose, really the fountainhead of so much of this. It comes out of the education establishment and how they've had us for generations sitting in classrooms getting this kind of brainwashing in terms of how we regard the world, how we regard ourselves. And we see that on the streets. We see that at the upper reaches of our Justice Department and FBI. I mean, no, we are all creatures of our time, and you know those of us who can reject it are really outliers in terms of actually having to buck a system that is deeply influenced by collectivism, progressivism, all of these things that stem from this very anti-American ideology that does seek to overthrow our Constitution and take away our liberties and replace them with state control. That's why when you and I look at what's happened with this corona tyranny, as I like to call it, we recognize the building blocks of this same communist-inspired tyranny, whereby the state controls your personal life, the state controls your family life, the state controls how you express yourself. We've never seen the state seize the power to enter into our family relationships, to tell us we can't hug our grandmother or visit our grandmother if she is in a home. Right. We can't have a party to celebrate a graduation. We can't have a graduation. We can't do, you know, it's this micromanaging of human life down to the family that collectivists and social engineers only dream of. I mean, this, who would have imagined that Americans would even submit to this regimen? But how did it work? Through fear. Through fear of dying,
right,
that we have now learned is not real. And then when these doctors come forward and say, listen, these are the people who've come to our clinic and I've treated 250 and Dr. Zelenko's treated, I don't know, what is he?
Thousands
by now. Yeah. And, you know, so-and-so in the emergency clinics of Dr. Christensen out in California. I mean, they've all had this massive experience across the country. They want to share that with us. And then you see the left squelch it. They don't want the economy to open. They don't want Americans to be unafraid. No. They don't want President Trump reelected, and they want to control us forever. And they, if you're a believer in the Green New Deal, as many of them are in on the left, you don't want the airline industry to come back. That's a big central tenet of the Green New Deal. You don't want the travel. You don't want
only them. See, they can still travel, but we can never travel, right?
Exactly. No, exactly. One law for me and one law for thee. Exactly. Right. No, all of that comes along with it. And you're right to say so. But this essentially is so naked at this point, but it does still depend on hiding the truth, on censoring people and destroying people. I can only imagine the kinds of individual or pressure the individual doctors are coming under all over their lives and their professional lives as a result of actually having the courage to come forward and speak to us. So, you know, my respect and admiration for them is unbounded, and it just, it's very important for people to get this because we have to do it ourselves.
Yes, yes. I think it's only always been that way in this country. It happened with the election of Donald Trump. That's how it happened. It was grassroots. It was we the people. And it's now again, we the people. You have a right to know that by them cutting off your information from these doctors, you have a right to know that there is a cure for this, and there it is also a prevention of this. And it is inexpensive, and it's safe, and you can see why they don't want us to know about it, right?
Right, because once people know about that, they say, "Oh my gosh, I think I'll have a county fair this year. I think I'll open up the school. I think I'll go to Little League. I think, you know, it's like life can return to normal so quickly, and we can try to rebuild that wonderful economy we had in January, February, March, early March." You know, try to get back the pieces of so many broken lives and broken cities, and then we can start looking at what's going on in our streets, which, of course, we haven't even had a chance to talk about today. But this one is so important because it is the key to eliminating fear. And you know, this is, you know, once upon a time, a president I don't like, but he had a very good line, that would be Franklin Roosevelt, said that all we have to fear is fear itself.
Right.
And at this point, we are a nation quaking, shivering, fearful in our boots of this thing that these doctors are the key to understanding is not something to just chuck it all away and destroy ourselves with.
Absolutely not. Because again, you have people like, I'm sure Whitmer's the same, but Cuomo looking to shut us back. Absolutely. He's looking to shut us down. Newsom, oh my gosh. What Cuomo's doing is, we all know what he's doing because he's financially destroyed the state, and he wants money from the president. So he's willing to shut us down again. But he's known as Killer Cuomo now because he is absolutely responsible for 6,000 plus deaths of seniors, and he can't get away from that. But yes, exactly. This would open us up. We would be back to normal and very quickly. When, you know, if this was out there, and for the fact that anyone, I don't care who it is trying to stop, that is evil. Because we're talking about lives. We're talking about lives. Yeah.
You're talking about lives. You're also talking about the revolution. There was something I'll just throw out there, which was a John Rossomondo, who's a terrorism expert, was watching some of the Antifa Black Lives Matter Telegram platform traffic. And just today, he was talking about how they're putting out information to their people in the streets, telling them that the state mandated masks are great because it allows their very, some of the, I forget the word they used to describe them, but basically the criminals among them to circulate in the riot-torn areas wearing masks and be hidden. And they actually were asking the cadres of Antifa Black Lives Matter not to take pictures because it might expose some of these very high, more high-profile members of these terroristic groups to possible identification by ICE or the police or whoever, a law enforcement agent, who might be looking at the kinds of videos and photographs that come out of these street scenes. So they're basically asking, again, squelch the information, hide the truth. I mean, this is all part and parcel of the same kind of effort to control the message, to prevent us from knowing what's really going on, and in this case, to allow terrible violence and rioting to continue in our streets. So it has all real world applications. This is not just a classroom discussion about, speech and the ideals of free speech. This is hot war on free speech and our liberty as a people. And we can just watch it play out at so many different levels.
Yeah. And so the listeners know this, it's not just a coincidence, is it? That first we're locked down and we're still locked down. We're put in, as Dr. Gold said, we have a spider web of fear. We're just oppressed by fear. We have that. And then suddenly in our major cities, the Democrat run cities, we have this incredible chaos and violence, putting people further in fear. Is that a coincidence that that happened at this time?
It certainly doesn't appear to be a coincidence at all. To me, it seems to travel hand in glove. This is something, a subject that interests me. I've been working on watching some of the behavior of the more left-wing among the medical establishment, something we were talking about earlier, and how they are seamlessly involved. Remember the group of doctors that came out essentially for Black Lives Matter. I mean, that was a mass statement that said, you know what, protesting for Black Lives Matter is really more important than following these mass directives and words to that effect. I mean, this is real. So there is a synergy there. Certainly they're taking advantage. There's an opportunistic angle that we can all appreciate as far as going from, plandemic to rioting. Is there a real connected thread? Well, frankly, the FBI should be on that. If we had an FBI, if we had a Justice Department, I would feel more confident that we would learn about this connectivity that I look at from the surface and cannot imagine that it is not related. But that's more or less, the product of many years of watching this kind of thing and understanding how these kinds of crises certainly are capitalized on, but they are also sometimes engineered. And when you see how much of this is engineered in terms of creating fear and panic and lockdown, and then you have empty cities, and then you have rioting that moves into many of our cities coordinated. I mean, the coordination is something we can see. Was it planned with the pandemic? That is an open question, should be examined. Mm-hmm. But certainly we see coordination that has followed, that has simply exacerbated all of the pain and dislocation of the lockdown. So at this point, it's a symbiotic kind of relationship. And then when you literally see BLM Antifa traffic to each other, to discussions about use the mask to protect the bad guys, I mean, you start seeing they are using it and using it to their advantage, which also makes you say, why would public officials want to create a safety risk to our very persons? I mean, health aside, this is to our persons, by allowing criminals to mask and take over our city. So it just builds on itself and becomes more and more dangerous. And, it's approaching election day. So that's not an accident either.
Right. And they're in their foolishness, in their desperation, they think that with the violence in the cities is going to reflect badly on the president. But look, you have to wonder about someone like Ted Wheeler, and I don't know what the law is, but it seems to me this man not only has abandoned, I don't know what his vow was when he went into office, his oath, but this man has worked diligently to help them destroy the city and endanger the people he's supposed to be serving. I mean, what is that?
Well, what is that indeed? I mean, that is, you know, an Antifa mayor, a Black Lives Matter mayor. I mean, you see a number of them, not just allowing, quote, peaceful protest, which we all know what that looks like, and it is not this. We see them enabling and indeed driving violence in these streets, assaults on the federal government, the courthouses, the statuary, all the rest of it, assaults on the whole idea of public space that we all have a civil right to enjoy safely. I mean, there is no free speech, there is no free travel in any of these areas. So yes, he is a real specimen, but I mean, so is Gavin Newsom. So is, listen, Mayor Bowser in Washington, D.C. put in a highly restrictive mask order. You know, where do they get off ordering people like this?
Right.
They're making laws. They're not allowed to, but they're doing it.
Yeah.
That actually exempts federal workers, which is basically, I don't know what proportion, but a massive amount of the federal, of the workforce period in Washington, D.C., legislators and judges. People, I've told this to somebody who said, no, the news story didn't say that. It just said, you know, this, that, and the other were exempted. And I said, no. You have to look at her actual directive. That's where you see the exemption. I think it was the Free Beacon that reported it. Thank you, Free Beacon. The rest of the media did not.
No.
So this is, you know, so much a two-track system for inflicting pain and suffering on some people who go to work, not in the federal government, right?
Right.
And then exempting people who work for the government who, by the way, have not been laid off, have not seen their jobs disappear, have not seen their livelihoods
disappear.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Right.
She's not made to answer for this, because why are you telling people they have to be masked, but then there are certain other people that don't have to? What's the reason for masking in the first place? Of course,
exactly.
It's illegitimate, but if it's because of I see, it's an intelligent virus. It knows who's a city worker. That's it. Okay, I got it. Right. See, they really think we're a bunch of Nimrods. They really do. But you know what? It's really up to us. We cannot, do not wait for elected official do anything. It's up to you to do something about this. We want the HCQ, which we want it to be over the counter, like it is in many other countries in the world. We want it because it will not only repair our country in many ways, it will heal and prevent people from getting this again. And so who has to do it? We have to put the pressure on the president.
Right.
We have to put the pressure on our elected officials, even if we didn't elect them in particular. Still tell them we want HCQ over the counter. We have to have this. We don't really care what they are trying to do to us. It's up to us to do it. This is our government. It's we the people. Am I right?
You are right. 100%.
Thanks. Diana, I'm sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. Diana.
No, I love it.
Well, Diana, where can the listeners follow and support your brilliant work and purchase your books, including The Red Thread? And listeners, let me just say, you need these books. You want to understand what's going on? You're home right now. Get these books. But go right ahead. Sure.
Thank you. Yes, also audiobooks, which makes it easy if you're also driving around. Especially in the summertime, which I guess some people are still going on vacation. But the website is dianawest.net. And I also am on Twitter at @Diana_West_. So I try to keep up with the news because I can't read the news. I have to find it, just like so many of us have to find it ourselves. And that's where I put it. So
exactly.
Those two sources.
And of course, I will have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links that you need to follow Diana's work and get her books. Thank you so much, Diana, for sharing your assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye for now, Audrey. God bless you.
Thank you.